This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo, Coney alive for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on a Feel Good Friday.
Yeah, it is Feel Good Friday. And we started off this morning, we were talking about some of the stuff that was going on at the Combine, some of the stuff that came out of the Combine. And one of the things that I said, one of the reasons that Popcorn Rob called in was I was saying that the NFL does have a problem, that their big offensive tackles are unathletic or not athletic enough to handle some of these incredibly fast, quick pass rushers that are coming out. And, you know, offenses have got to adapt to it. And I think, you know, you're trying to, you know, you want big offensive linemen. They have to have long arms. They have to have great feet. They have to have great balance. And they have to be athletic at those sizes. And, you know, and a guy like, think about Mekhi Becton for a second.
Yeah.
All right. So he is a huge human being. Mm-hmm. And you would think that would be the perfect guy for a left tackle.
Yeah, maybe in 1995.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe it's better that he's a guard, that he's inside. He's so big and so massive that he's dealing with the defensive tackles who aren't quite as tall but are squattier and heavier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the types of position players we're talking about and what their body mass looks like and how big they are. He might be better off being inside a guard, being next to the center and the tackle, and then using his massive body and his ability to move and pull out of the offensive line, because he is an athlete, and then use his athleticism that way, because on the edge, not so good. And that's what worries me. It's like Evan Neal. Like, I don't necessarily know, like, he doesn't look like an athlete to me. And that is a real problem. And unless he's working right now as we speak on his footwork, on staying balanced and understanding what his job is, you know, that's going to be a wasted pick for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it already is a wasted pick. And we had that Brian Baldinger breakdown and seeing him fall on the ground every other play and said it was the worst tackle play he's ever seen in his life. And I don't think he was he was joking or trying to make a joke. He's very serious with those breakdowns, and it was bad. So, you know, maybe moving him to guard is an option after seeing what happened to Mekhi Becton.
That may be the only option. I love when Brian does those, because as an offensive lineman, he knows what he's looking at.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm a quarterback, I know what I'm looking at when it comes to quarterbacks dropping back, standing in the pocket, whether they're moving right, moving left. You know, should they be running? Should their decision making be quicker than it is? All of those things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's funny, because this conversation reminds me, it was a few years ago that I had made the observation that, you know, back in like the 2000s and previous to that, if you drafted a left tackle in the top 10, that guy was a lock to be a great player. Just a lock, like a Tony Boselli. You know, and he might have dealt with some injuries here or there.
Well, the Giants have one, Andrew Thomas.
Right, but just getting to the point is back then those guys were can't miss. And it was like, well, you know, you take a left tackle, a guy's going to be your left tackle for the next 15 years. And then the last number of years, you've had a lot of busts at that position that you never used to have tackles.
This
is maybe why. You know, and because these edge rushers are changing, and they're smaller, they're quicker, and it's a different type of tackle that needs to be in the NFL to stop these
guys. These guys, like I told you, James Pierce from Tennessee, yesterday ran a 4.47 40-yard dash. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, that is wide receiver numbers. Those are, you know, running back numbers.
He's wearing a hoodie, too, which was crazy.
And he just looked
slowing him down.
Look how athletic he looked. Now, there are a lot of guys who are athletic. Like, remember the great Vernon Golston?
Oh, yeah. Combine hero, Vernon Golston.
That's what I'm saying. So you just never know until they get on the field and what kind of players there are. Now, at Tennessee, James Pierce was a really good player. I think he had like 8 sacks his senior season or last season. And he looks like he can be, you know, something special. And I'm sure that speed that he showed yesterday jumped off the page and everybody got all excited about it. So there's one of your combine warriors right there.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to Kyle in Connecticut. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, fellas. You're talking about all these athletic linemen. I'm curious if you have seen the video that's on X and stuff of Micah Parsons going against the sumo wrestler. You guys seen this?
I have not, but I saw you on hold, and I am watching it as we speak right here. So this is...
It's incredible. He's going full bore directly into this sumo wrestler who doesn't move an inch.
Yeah.
So are you saying that we should get sumo wrestlers for offensive linemen?
I mean, maybe not a tackle, but get a couple of guards. You don't think they can do the tush push?
Yeah, so he's in Tokyo, and he's in this room, and... Yeah, it's unbelievable. The guy moves. He slides initially a little bit, but then he stops dead in his tracks. And it's almost like the sumo wrestler. He's like laughing, like it's not even a thing for him.
The one thing, Micah is in the ring with him doing his thing. He's not on the football field doing Micah's thing.
That's true. But you got to watch some of these highlight videos of the sumo wrestlers. They could be tossing people all over the place. I think it's something that can do.
I mean, forget it. Not on a football field. This is in a condensed sumo ring.
It is, but I think the point being that it's not a knock on Micah Parsons as much as it is how impressive it is for a sumo wrestler to be able to stop a defensive lineman with that type of power and speed, like in his tracks.
Yeah, why? Well, in a very confined space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what if the Jets had all sumo wrestlers?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But I appreciate it, Kyle. But again, you're in his ring doing his thing.
Yeah, but they do like bull rushes and stuff. I know.
Right, you're going to tell me that this sumo wrestler has the footwork to be able to go out there on an NFL field and stop Micah Parsons? I don't think so.
I think he does have the footwork. And by the way, these guys aren't even wearing cleats. They got bare feet, these sumo wrestlers. Yeah, so put them in cleats.
Yeah, put them out there in bare feet then.
Yeah, no.
Forget it. The guy, I mean, first of all, they're not healthy enough.
You're not watching these. I'm telling you, these guys look way healthier than your stereotypical sumo wrestler.
I am not saying.
You want to come over here and watch this?
I'm not
and no it. Jersey to hang on to, right?
Right. I'm not saying to you that what the sumo wrestler is doing in his ring is not impressive. I am saying that. I don't want to get in the ring. I don't even understand what they're doing, but I know, and I've seen enough sumo wrestling in my life to understand exactly what you're looking at. And it doesn't shock me that like a guy like Micah Parsons can't move a 400-pound
He's not 400-pound. Come here and look at this. God, you're assuming what it looks like, and you have no idea. So it's different. This guy is not 400 pounds. First of all right, that's C.J. Stroud, by the way. He's doing this thing with C.J. Stroud. You're going to see Micah. All right, this is the guy. Is he 400 pounds? He's not 400 pounds. See, that was a good one by Micah. He pushed him right away. He pushed him away on that one. But this guy is not 400 pounds. This is where he stopped him in his tracks right there. You see, it looks different than I thought it was going to look.
Yeah, you know, they're not wearing shoes. They're on a carpet. You know, I understand that it's all about leverage and strength. And look at the legs on the sumo wrestler.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're arguing about.
We're not arguing about anything. I'm just saying that.
I'm saying it's impressive what the sumo wrestler did. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm saying it's not shocking. I'm saying to you, it's not shocking that
who said it was shocking?
Here's what I'm hearing. Gio thinks possibly sumo wrestlers could stop football players if we put them on the offensive line, you're saying that's crazy.
No way.
I think that's where we're at.
No way.
But I don't think you're counting on like 4 or 5 sumo wrestlers on the line.
I don't care how many you put out there.
And they always talk about offensive lines. Got
you
know
how you bring an extra offensive lineman. Sometimes there's 6 offensive linemen. Sometimes teams put 7 out there, depending on what their position. You know, maybe they're running the tush push. Yeah, okay, for the tush push, let's do it. Great. Now what?
But these guys don't.
Sorry, so let's drop back and pass, and these guys are going to pass block. No way.
You would agree though that this is a new age sumo wrestler. This is not your like classic, you know, huge
stereotypical fat.
Right. This is not
wrestle,
what he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're in a round circle. It's confined. A football field is not confined.
I don't know, man. I think that you get.
And I've been telling you that the biggest problem that the NFL has is finding athletic tackles.
I had one
that was an incredible athlete.
I think
for his size, maybe the best athlete that I had ever played with. And it was Anthony.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know what I think? I think this is the beginning of a trend. And I think you're going to see sumo wrestlers all over the place in football. And you always talk about how an offensive line's got to be connected. And Al makes a great point. You get 5 of these guys, you take them from Japan. They're all friends. They've grown up in the sumo community. You put them out there, they'll be like telepathically knowing what to do.
Why don't we just bring in all the Australian football players like Jordan Mailata?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well,
I'm talking about sumo wrestlers.
Yeah, I know, but you know, Australian football is pretty serious, and those guys are connected, and those guys don't have to play. They don't play with helmets on.
Yeah, it's a different thing. We're talking about offensive linemen here. Specifically,
yeah, it's not
going to
work.
Wrestlers.
It's not going to work.
Well, we don't know until we try.
Nah, it's not going to work.
Let's go to Ryan and Brick. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, I heard you guys talking. I'm actually a Colorado State football alumni, and we've had a defensive lineman the past couple of years who's a sumo wrestler from Japan. I think his last name's Hanada.
Is he a defensive tackle?
Yeah, he's a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
He's a lot leaner and more athletic than your normal picture of a sumo wrestler.
So I could see a defensive tackle position for a sumo wrestler without question. Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
You're okay with that.
I could see that.
All
you're
right,
not putting them on the offensive line. I mean, you're just not. I mean,
I think you could put him
as a center, maybe if they understood the game and could snap the ball and they didn't have to wear the diaper that they wear.
I mean, I think this is your classic. Get him here makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's not
get him
me,
here from
not.
Japan makes a ton of sense. I mean, you got all these roster spots in training camp. Throw a couple sumo guys on there.
Yeah, the one thing I always will tell you, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I said it about Tristan Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs would have been the tackle that I would have taken the year that he and Andrew Thomas and Mekhi Becton came out.
Yeah.
And the reason I would have taken him is because he was a wrestler on top of being
offensive
lineman. Not sumo, American wrestling.
Oh.
And I love the wrestling background of an offensive lineman. Love the, you know, because they have to stay in shape. They got to work hard.
They're in a confined space.
Yes, but they also play football.
Well, these guys, we haven't given them an opportunity to play football yet.
Well, we did now at Colorado State.
And the guy did well.
We think he did well. We don't know if he's done well or not.
No, I've heard of that guy. You haven't heard of that guy?
No, I haven't heard of that guy.
Oh, he's a big deal.
No.
He's All-American.
We got to get Peter Schwartz to stock his team.
Yes.
That would be a pretty good gimmick.
The Dragons with a full sumo offensive line. Man, we are just building this team.
Well, how many offensive linemen play in Arena League?
You think I know that answer? You're looking at me, you think I know that answer?
3, right?
I have no goddamn clue how many offensive linemen are on the Entfla. Come on. Paul in Mount Olive, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, Gio, Boom, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Paul?
How you doing, pal? Hey, Boom. Gene Hackman used the sumo wrestlers as replacements, and they went to the playoffs. Come on, we got to use them.
It's a great point,
they
Paul.
Went to the playoffs.
They
did go to the playoffs.
Yeah, they did go to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, just that's a great example. I wish I had thought of that example.
All right, speaking of Gene Hackman,
yeah.
You know, we did talk about this yesterday, and we were both wondering aloud, speculating whether or not it was carbon monoxide.
Yes.
And now comes different reports that it may not have been carbon monoxide and that there were other dogs and 2 other dogs were living.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things when I came in, I talked to Al and Jerry about it and said, I don't know, could have been a pill thing potentially, who knows, and there was a empty bottle of pills near the wife. There was the one dog who was in the closet, passed away. There were two other dogs. One was in the house. One was out of the house. There was gas company inspectors that came and said they saw no leak there. I could sit here and speculate a scenario. I don't think that that's right.
It's a little bit different today than it was yesterday when we were here, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, indeed, without a doubt. So we will.
I wasn't planning on bringing it up, but that last call brought it up.
And then you know, the replacement.
Well, somehow we went from sumo wrestlers and Micah Parsons to Gene Hackman and the replacements.
Right.
To now we're discussing Gene Hackman's death.
Well, that was you.
But that's the natural flow of a discussion pattern.
It seemed like you were losing the sumo argument and then segued.
Yeah, classic deflection.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about the bodies that they found. Ooh. Hey, did you see this? We got new information. Look at this shiny object over here.
So you think that I was losing the sumo wrestler argument.
Or we're just tired of it.
Yeah, probably more so just tired of the nonsense.
It was just example after example.
Yeah.
The replacements movie.
Oh,
playoffs.
Nonstop.
The college kid.
Right. Micah Parsons getting stopped in his tracks.
Watching you and Sean Marash do what you did,
mm-hmm.
that confined space of knocking Al over, that to me was sumo-esque.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Right?
Well, Sean certainly looks like a sumo wrestler.
I mean, there are certain things about sumo wrestling
mm-hmm.
that do convert to offensive line and defensive line play.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that there isn't, but they're not playing in the NFL at tackle. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that right now.
Okay. Hey, there's a first for everything, right?
The NFL's got a problem. They don't have enough athletic offensive tackles to deal with these
incredible
athletes.
Maybe here's your
defensive
answer.
End. And edge rushers.
Did I ever tell you the story? I'm sure I have. But my co-host Josh Miller in Pittsburgh, who played for the Steelers and punted for the Steelers, Titans, and Patriots, there were Japanese punters that came over and wanted to learn. So they were like learning football in Japan. So they came over in like a clinic or whatever it was, a camp, and Josh told them to punt with their non-dominant foot. And that's how he does it, because he was a lefty punter.
Yeah.
And he taught them all how to, like, if they were righty, to kick lefty, if they were lefty, to kick righty,
yeah.
And sent them back. And they go, well, why the hell did you do that? He goes, I don't want these guys coming over here taking my job.
Right, exactly. Smart.
Genius. Let's go to John in Middletown. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Speaking of Micah Parsons, I don't know if Boomer saw that latest video of Micah Parsons trying to block polar bears and seals.
Did you see that one?
I didn't see that one.
He was trying to block him, wasn't trying to help him with the giant parasites on their back.
Yeah, I would think that he'd probably help him.
He would. He seems like that type of guy.
He seems like that type of guy, yeah.
But does he have a scraper on him? That's really the question.
I don't think he didn't need a scraper. He could pull them off with his hands.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
There's a quote from Micah Parsons here after taking on a sumo wrestler. Quote, these guys are brick walls, end quote. Sounds like a good quality to have if you're going to be an offensive lineman in the NFL, being a brick wall. So we have accidentally stumbled upon maybe a solution for the New York football teams when it comes to fixing the offensive line. 5 sumo wrestlers. I mean, maybe you keep Andrew Thomas, I guess. Maybe, Elijah Vera Tucker, he always gets hurt.
It's too bad we can't play the game in those little circles where you can't move out of the circle and the guy that has to engage with you when they run into you.
But if you think about it, like, there is kind of like that, if you go too far outside, you're not going to get to that.
I could see the defensive tackle and the centers and stuff like that, maybe the guards, but those tackles better be athletic. There's a lot of room out there.
CeeLo is here. He's got another update for us. What's going on, CeeLo?
All right, even though he's not here this morning, we got to keep it fair, and we got to give Jerry the full treatment, just as he did to Boomer yesterday with Maryland Hoops losing on a buzzer beater. So with that in mind, we get Michigan radio this hour as the Wolverines broke the hearts of Rutgers fans late last night in Ann Arbor.
Grant bothers Gale, looking in, fires Wolf on the right wing, splits 2, over to Burnett, left wing, a 3 for the win! Three days after his worst game of the year, Damari Burnett walks off with a Michigan winner on a 25-foot splash here in the pool party at Chrysler.
Brian Bosch on top of it with the play-by-play. Terry Mills is the analyst who, I don't know if was crying or giggling like a little child, but was overcome with emotion, I guess. 84-82 in the final.
Who was covering Damari Burnett for Rutgers? I couldn't tell.
Got to run that back there. CBS Sports Network. Victor, give it to me one more time.
I mean, the guy was way out there. I know the guy was way out there, but still.
Wow, what a reference. I forgot about that.
I knew
that.
You'd get Victor. That one. Yeah, Victor, one more time, Victor. Okay. Is that Dylan Harper? Let me check the number. If you stand by for a sec.
Don't expect that ball to come to that kid and then have that kid shoot it there, but I would think that.
I mean, it was a deep 3, man.
Yeah, it was.
And the guy that was made Dylan a shot Harper. All night.
I don't know if that was his man off the inbounds, but he was the one who ended up trying to get out to contest that shot.
In that situation, don't you let that guy take that shot? Because he hit one all night and he's out from that deep?
Yeah.
It was like the Maryland guy who took the shot the night before. He took it too early. and it gave Michigan State to get a chance to get the rebound, pass the ball, and still hit a half-court
shot.
Still
had to happen very quickly.
No, it did, but, you know, again, it's just managing the game and understanding the game, and sometimes, you know, all players at all levels are going to be forgetful and not think that that guy is going to make that shot.
Yeah, well, he did. 84-82 after the Scarlet Knights led by 12 midway through the second half, and they were up by one prior to that inbounds with 3.6 seconds to go. They made a couple of free throws to take the one-point lead, but the Wolverines escaped with the victory. So we heard Jerry with Steve Peichel last hour and the head coach dropping three F-bombs in the first 6 seconds of the very first answer on the post-game broadcast. So Jerry wasn't really sure where to go after that, even referenced it on the air. So the next part was more of a statement and some sympathy for the coach and his players.
You guys did so well. I mean, the offense is good. The guys can't score. Terrible calls the other way, and it's just it's a killer because the team was prepared and ready to play, and it's just it's gut-wrenching. It's one of those crazy nights.
You know, it's just this league is just a monster, and did everything we could to win a game. I mean, you can't defend the foul line again, fouls.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with the officiating down the stretch. He did eventually wrap up his thoughts and what turned out to be a very short interview.
Frustrating, and when you play that hard and play that well and play that together, you want great things to happen for these guys, and to lose like that just is unbelievable.
All right, Coach, thanks.
Nice, thank you.
Well, listen, that's tough, but if you need anything, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's essentially what Jerry says. Like, can't add anything more. Yeah, let's take a little break. Boy.
I mean, is there anybody more stressed in sports than a college basketball coach?
No.
Nobody. Whether you're winning, you're losing, they're just stressed out all the time. These guys.
They wear it all. It's all over their face, their body language, and their voices.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it. 100%. So Jerry played the Shine clip for you guys yesterday from the Andrew Marchand podcast.
Yes,
about,
that's right.
Mike, taking Shine to Del Frisco's for the big succession plan meeting and the lemon cake, the whole thing. Well, that wasn't the only time he discussed a potential return to Fan to take over afternoon drive. So I guess let's go back to late 2017 after Craig's arrest and departure from this program. And I guess Mike at the time was gone. Was that the first retirement, perhaps?
It was the first retirement,
all
yes.
Right. So you had a morning show slot open, an afternoon drive slot open. And as Shine tells it, he was in talks to possibly team up with the big guy here.
And Boomer was thinking about the afternoons. If Boomer would have picked afternoons, and he knows this, I would have tried to find the way to move heaven and earth and make that possible.
And he talked about how great and flexible Chernoff was working with him.
Oh, yes, very flexible Chernoff.
He was amazing. I mean, yeah,
sort of like almost like a rubber band.
Yeah, well, that's how he tells it. SiriusXM, he had his Time to Shine TV show, so there were a lot of moving parts, and Mark was willing to work with him on figuring all that out.
And it hurt me at the time, but I know Al was really rooting for the Adam Shine Boomer show at that time in his career, and I was like, it made me, but I, eventually Al and I got over that, but that's what he was rooting for. He was devastated when it didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely, and in the afternoon, that would have been just terrific.
Yeah, I've told the story. Adam is correct that I was considering that.
Yes,
100% correct. And I told Andrew Marchand the kind of the same story.
Yeah,
but what you don't understand and you don't see behind the scenes is when I floated this idea to Eddie, Al, and Jerry, I looked at three guys that looked like they were going to have a stroke at that moment. Like, we're going to have them. We're going to have them. What about traffic? What about this? What about that? What about my life? What about this? What about that? I mean, it was remarkable.
Shame on them caring about their own lives.
Right, exactly. The way that they did. And then they ganged up on me, and then you came in, and then you all ganged up on me. You blistered the softball team.
That's right, yep.
You're just throwing everyone right under the bus here, huh?
Well, all I'm saying is that I ended up wanting to stay in the morning anyway, but I floated it through those guys to see what they would think.
And we said, we'll stay with whatever the new morning show is. Mm-hmm.
So Al wanted Shine with Boomer in the mornings then?
No, we didn't want him at all. I was being completely facetious.
That was totally sarcasm. Yeah, I thought maybe just the afternoon part was sarcasm. Okay.
No.
Very good.
Yeah, 5 hours of hardcore sports talk and then get on the New Jersey Transit back to Bradley Beach.
Forget that. Perfect. That's not happening. Yeah. Well,
you foresaw that would have been the case, and that definitely would have been the case when you listened to Shine here.
But if he would have decided to go to afternoons, I honestly think Boomer and I would have been phenomenal together in the afternoons. You know, doing a morning show, I'm not a morning show guy. I'm a sports talk guy.
There you go, nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I don't know if I. Yeah, I say I. On the other side of that, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much.
I would agree.
That's true. I like this format a hell of a lot better.
Shine trying to do some of the stuff we do.
Do you see the vagina scented candle, Boomer? And Gwyneth Paltrow put out there? Damn. Let's list some of the vaginas you like to smell in Hollywood. Number 5. You know, Al Dukes came up to me the other day and said, did you ever hear of summer penis? Have you heard of summer penis? I guess that's when your penis gets a little bit bigger because of the heat and the humidity. I'll take anything to get my penis a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I watch this show. Guy comes in. He's holding something. It's a vajankle. Have you ever heard of a vajankle? What it is it's a synthetic foot with a vagina on top of it.
Like that would work.
Probably not, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would
work. And I'm picturing him doing all this because I watch him on Marshan. He's got the pen in the hand. You know, that's a thing for Shine.
Yeah,
like when he does
his
show.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing him doing all this now with the red pen and the red. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like.
No way.
The way he holds it is a very specific way. So he's doing this podcast with Marshan on Zoom and is sitting in his home office with the pen in his hand.
Boomer, I hate to break it to you, but I don't believe those barnacles are real on the polar bear. I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but I don't think we can check that. Can we check that, guys? But I don't think that barnacles can grow on polar bears. I'm not positive, though. I'm not a barnacle guy. I'm not an expert. I've never been to the Arctic, but we can check on that for you. In the meantime, let's talk about the 5 top moments of the old Yankee Stadium.
Would have been a different world for you, that's for sure. It all worked out as it was meant to be, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
There you go. I know you guys did a lot on the Browns yesterday, at least audio with Jerry, with Stefanski, and you had the GM earlier in the week about the Myles Garrett situation. So I guess Garrett's camp sort of volleying back here. Who's going to blink first? According to reports, he is not open to an extension with the Browns as the team remains adamant it will not basically accept his trade request. So apparently they tried to talk to his reps at the Combine this week, and they have, quote, slammed the door on negotiations.
Wow.
So that's a game of poker right now.
Let's see who
blinks first.
They have a real chance to rebuild their team. I mean, I think they should be honest about what they have and what they are and the vision they're in and what their quarterback situation is. They could trade him and they could get a few more big time assets. That would be a way that I would go, but I don't know. I don't think that they want to signal to their fan base that they're trying to rebuild when in actuality that's what they have to do.
Yeah.
Unless they feel like if they get one of these stopgap quarterbacks like a Kirk Cousins or a Joe Flacco or something.
We'll see. Before I go, because I didn't get to it last hour, a little love for the Islanders. Good win last night.
Isagorai walks the line, risks a shot, blocked down, and cleared away by Horvat, kept in by Lorai. The stick snapped on Geeky. We're down to 2. One more chance for Pastrnak. Couldn't bank it home. And the Islanders with a 2-1 regulation win on the road in Boston.
There you go, Brendan Burke. Good win for the Isles on the road as they hang on. Kyle Palmieri scored. Ilya Sorokin stopped 38 shots as the Isles get the 2 points there. You get the Rangers and the Maple Leafs tonight at the Garden. The Nets are playing. We got coverage 720 here on the Fan against Portland. And then you get the Knicks and the Grizzlies in Memphis.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Les Claypool, one of the great electric bass players of all time. Not quite as good as Victor Wooten. You familiar with Victor Wooten?
I don't know him.
I got to show you some Victor Wooten. This guy did an amazing rendition of Amazing Grace on an electric bass that you would never think was even possible. He used to play with Bela Fleck.
Bela Fleck, wow.
Victor Wooten. So anyway, all right, nobody cares about that,
no.
But they do care about Matthew Stafford. And Diana Russini says, or posts on X, the Rams are set to meet with Matthew Stafford at their facility in person today regarding his future. Per sources, the Raiders and Giants have discussed a 2-year contract for Stafford. that includes 90 to 100 million guaranteed. A decision is expected soon, so you know that'll happen at 10:05 today, and he'll either go to the Giants or not. But a decision expected soon, so I guess the Giants got in enough to get their contract offer through to Stafford and his people as well. Seems like a long shot still, but it's a 2-year deal, not a 3-year deal.
Well, which is good. It is a lot of money, however, and I guess they're still in play. I would think that it would be more, I don't know, it depends on now what the Rams do. Now, if the Rams say, hey, we'll match those deals, do you want to stay here or do you want to move on and we'll move on from you? Maybe that's what that meeting is all about today.
But the way that this has happened, don't you feel like the Rams aren't willing to go to that amount of money? Because
that's what I'm saying.
Right. I'd be shocked if they match at this point. We would have never gotten here if they were interested in paying them $50 million a year.
But I think they also realize that, you know, these other teams recognize that how great a player he is. I still feel like in my heart that if all things are equal, he'll want to go to Las Vegas. That's what I think.
As opposed to staying in L.A. with that team that he won a Super Bowl with, and he doesn't have to move. And
yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why all of this stuff is going on right now with the Rams. I felt like, you know, remember they had just lost to the Eagles, and Sean McVay came out and said that, you know, I just want to get this deal with, you know, with Matthew Stafford done early. I just want to figure out what's going on. I want to have an answer. And they want to have an answer because obviously, like every other team, they're going to have to make decisions surrounding what their quarterback situation is. And they also have a roster bonus they have to give him on March 4th. So that's a $4 million roster bonus, I believe. So they got to make a decision here quickly as to what's going on. And if Matthew wants to stay, then maybe they meet his demands. But if he doesn't want to stay, and maybe say to the Rams, I want 3 years from you as opposed to 2 years from these other two teams.
Yeah, and this is one of those situations with the failures of the Giants the last number of years where they're going to lose out on tiebreakers like this. I mean, this is a big issue for the Jets and Giants. It is much harder to come out of these things and get the players that you want and the coaches you want and the coaching staffs that you want when you've been at the bottom of the NFL for year after year after year. People don't want to go there. They think that their careers are going to die there. They see someone like Aaron Rodgers go to the Jets and it doesn't work out. And I understand that it's injuries. And then Rob Saleh was respected and Joe Douglas was respected. And they go through the meat grinder. And then even though the Raiders have not been much the last few years, it's still a better situation than coming across the country to here and joining a Giants team that was the butt of every joke through the NFL season because of what happened to Saquon Barkley.
And they also hired an older coach who wants a veteran quarterback who is a great guy to play for. And that I can attest to. Even when he was a younger coach, he was a great coach to play for, and that's Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
So you have that, and you have a coach that is just starting out in Vegas as opposed to a coach who needs you to come and save his job here in New York.
Yeah, there's one of two things that can get these teams out of this, and that is a great quarterback or the next great head coach. Because I don't think that, I mean, maybe Belichick comes back to the Giants at some point. Maybe the Giants can attract someone who is real legitimate top of the line. The Jets can't unless they start winning. But that the only way that you're going to get out of this and change, because Woody Johnson's not selling, John Mara's not selling. And remember with the Commanders, you know, it wasn't just Jaden Daniels, even though I think he was 90% of what happened, but they changed ownership there too and then went out and hired the right people and brought in Dan Quinn, who got an A+, by the way. He was the number one rated coach in the NFLPA, Paul.
So when those, I found out, when those surveys come, they come late in the season, and if your team stinks, your coach has been fired, you have not played, you're unhappy, you're hurt, everything's going to tend to be negative.
Yeah.
In those surveys. So you got to take them with somewhat of a
understanding. Well, Brian Daboll got a B+.
I understand. But you just got to understand that the negative grades that are handed out sometimes are handed out because of the present situation that the club finds itself in.
Okay.
So, like, the Minnesota Vikings get A's. You know, they do everything right. The Wilf family has been one of the best ownership groups in the NFL, by all accounts, by every single player that's gone through there. You know, I don't know if Kirk Cousins would feel the same way. I don't know if some of the other players
he definitely would feel the same way.
I mean,
they gave him guaranteed money, two ginormous contracts, guaranteed money, and had his back. And actually, you know, ended up taking his side over Mike Zimmer and brought in a guy to help him out in Kevin O'Connell. So he should love the Wilfs and the Minnesota Vikings organization.
Here's the other thing. Just one other thing about if I'm Matthew Stafford that I'm thinking about. I want to know if I sign with you, if I'm traded to you, whether it be the Giants or the Vegas Raiders. I want to know, are you planning on drafting a quarterback with your high draft pick? Or are you drafting something that's going to help me, you know, be a better player for you to save your jobs or to get you started out there in Vegas if you're Pete Carroll?
To me, I
need to know that answer.
If the Giants make this trade with Matthew Stafford and give him 2 years, $100 million guaranteed, they are not drafting one of these two guys. If they loved either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, they wouldn't be in on this.
They wouldn't be, right.
So there's no way. They would end up drafting somebody else. So it's interesting. But the Giants are... I mean, is it fair to say the Giants are a distant third when it comes to the Rams, the Raiders, and them? I mean, I can't imagine. We said this before this scenario played out. If there were two teams that offered Matthew Stafford the same amount of money that the Rams weren't willing to pay him, one of them was the Giants, and the other one was just about anybody, maybe but the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets, but Matthew Stafford was going to take the other deal and not take the Giants deal. The Giants would have to be the only team in the NFL willing to pay him $50 million a year, guaranteed for 2 years, for him to want to come to New York.
Yeah, or now they can. Then if they know that the Raiders are matching the offer or they're very similar, you also have to remember, no state tax in Nevada, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I don't know how that would all work with Matthew living in L.A. right now and all the things that have to go on. Maybe he'll move his home address to Montana or something. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I would think that if in order for the Giants to separate themselves, they would have to go another year and another 45 to 50 million, and that means 3 years, 150 million.
All right, what do you think about Matthew Stafford to the Giants? A decision coming soon. They are in. They have talked about a contract to Matthew Stafford and his people, according to Diana Russini. 2 years guaranteed, somewhere between 90 and 100 million. The Raiders, similar contract, and the Rams are going to talk to Matthew Stafford today to try to work this thing out or trade him.